This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now Charles Davis, the great NFL Network draft analyst, and you could also catch him all throughout the NFL season calling the games with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn, NFL and CBS. Here he is, a man that has provided us a lot of talking points today, Charles Davis. CD, how you been, my friend?
I've been great, Zach. How are you doing? I'm providing great entertainment for the masses, that's for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, there's no doubt about it. We thank you. So let's start off with this. Why Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward with the first overall pick, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it comes down to this for me, and obviously first mock draft, we'll see where it goes, and because I'm going to do three, okay? I always do three. So my last one will drop right before the draft itself. It'll be that Wednesday, I'm sure. And the second one, obviously, somewhere halfway in between. There have been years where I've taken it, and I've got to just give you the little context, okay? And then I'll give you the answer. There have been years where that first quarterback I put down, I've kept throughout. Like, that's who it is, top of the board. He's that person. There's nothing changing it. I don't know if that's the case this year. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns that go. And I've had it right and then talked myself out of it. I remember I put Baker Mayfield down on my first mock draft his year. And then talked myself out of it. And then was kicking myself later because I had it right from the beginning. All that being said, here's the deal. We watched Tennessee play last year. Brian Callahan, coming from Cincinnati, obviously had a hand in Joe Burrow and watched him play. I am not saying Shedeur Sanders is Joe Burrow, but you remember Tennessee last year and how Will Levis played? There's a lot of off-schedule things and a lot of things that went off-schedule and went really awry. The Chicago game, to open the season, a game that they should have won, still can't understand what that throw was to the sideline that Chicago ran back for a touchdown. Our crew, week two, at home against the Jets. You remember Brian Callahan handled that. Okay, go, all right, you're my guy. All of a sudden, he's going to the ground late in the first quarter in a really tight game, and all of a sudden, this underhand scoop shovel, whoop! Brian Callahan, he didn't handle it quite the same on that one, did he? All I'm saying is those two plays weren't the only two. There's a lot of off-schedule stuff that went awry all year long. Shedeur Sanders doesn't play off schedule. He plays on schedule. Joe Burrow doesn't play off schedule. He plays on schedule. Has Burrow increased his movement in and out of the pocket? Yes, over time. Shedeur Sanders has moved in and out of the pocket, despite what everyone's saying. He's not a statue back there. You can find him maneuvering and running, but he wants to go back, hit the back foot with a hitch, without a hitch, completed on time. That's why I put him there in my first one, because I can just see Brian Callahan looking at that tape from last year and doing this, like, I can't have that again. This is designed precisely to work a certain way. And when we get off schedule and out of platform all the time, it doesn't work. Now, I know he doesn't want him anchored to the pocket, but I don't think he wants people maneuvering and exiting the way that he saw last year. Sanders doesn't do that. Cam Ward, That's a different situation. Much more of the guys going to move and go. So in my initial mock draft, Shedeur Sanders, Brian Callahan, felt like a match to me right out of the gate.
So something that really stuck with me, and I haven't seen it. You reflected this on your mock draft, but I haven't seen it with others. And everyone, right, is entitled to their own opinion. But sure. Before the combine, Adam Schefter said the thing he's most confident about in this NFL draft is that the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback with their first round selection. And I see a lot of people write it's either Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee or the Giants move up to 1 and then Cleveland at 2 takes either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Can you see the Browns at 2? You know, even if you're wrong and let's say, hey, Cam Ward's 1 and Shedeur is there at 2, can you see the Browns passing up on a quarterback?
I'd be in shock. Like, I think I said it earlier today, Zach, that if I were on air and Cleveland took anything but a quarterback here, you would hear the thud of my body falling off of a chair. And then they've just dragged me off and continue on with the show. I just don't see it otherwise. They've had to make the adjustment in contract with Deshaun Watson. So now he's almost our football's version of Bobby Bonilla Day, right? Because they had to kick it down the road. They were supposed to be done with this in 2025 or six. Now we're already at 2029 because they can't just do what Denver did, which was really bite the bullet and cut Russell Wilson's contract and just eat it and have to deal with the ramifications. This was so massive. If you did that, it's like you set off a tsunami amongst your salary cap. So they had to make these modifications, yet he's still there. I don't think he'll ever take another snap in a Cleveland uniform. I think we'd all be shocked if he did. So now you're saying Bailey Zappi's in camp and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That's what you have right now. Unless there's another big move made, a Sam Darnold or whatever, I just don't see how you can pass on one of these quarterbacks because you're sitting at 2. And as you said, even if someone jumps you at 1, there are quarterbacks there to be taken. I think it's going to be a quarterback. I don't think Tennessee can go Abdul Carter. Tennessee can go Travis Hunter. Tennessee can do those things. Tennessee can trade out. I don't think Cleveland can do that. I think they've got to figure out which quarterbacks they like and hope one of those guys is there.
The other thing, too, is, and I'm glad that you brought up the other options on the market outside of the draft. It's like I look at Tennessee and Cleveland. I know some people have said Aaron Rodgers going to Tennessee. I just don't see it. I don't think either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields prevents you from taking a quarterback. And if Kirk Cousins was available, which right now he's still under contract with the Falcons, so he's not available yet, then maybe I could see Cleveland. That's why I do feel like it's going to be quarterbacks 1-2, is because there's not really an option out there in free agency right now outside of Sam Darnold, but I don't think Sam's going to either of these places or they're going to pursue Sam either, where I go, okay, that takes either Tennessee or Cleveland out of the QB market.
I agree with you, and I'll put it to you this way, and I'll try and be succinct for the first time in my life. Even if they sign an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins, either one of these teams, Cleveland or Tennessee, it does not preclude them from taking a quarterback as well, because whoever you're signing is truly a bridge. It's truly a bridge. We're not talking about anything beyond. You're hoping 2 years, maybe one. It's a bridge. And by the way, that allows these quarterbacks to settle in, doesn't it? They don't have to play right away. They don't have to go through all this stuff. And, you know, that's a never-ending debate. Because, Zach, you and I have talked about this for years, and I've said the same thing consistently. A first-round quarterback's going to play as a rookie.
Sure.
It's almost impossible for them not to. And I know I can hear it now. Mahomes, okay, that's an outlier, okay? Give me another outlier. They're out there. There's a couple of others. But for the most part, ownership's going to come down. Hey, coach, that guy we drafted, when? Eli Manning, was it 10 games before they benched Kurt Warner?
Yeah, and you're right.
Josh Freeman somewhere around 9 or 10 in Tampa Bay way back when.
And this isn't an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation. Like, that's a thing. No. With these two spots.
That's an outlier.
They don't have a quarterback. Like, even Alex Smith, who's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, he was good enough to hold the job for the rest of for the entirety of the season. What Tennessee and Cleveland has right now, no offense to them, there's nothing that prevents you from saying, okay, after 5-6 games when the team's struggling and the fans are breathing down the coach's neck to put the new quarterback in, there's nothing that you could hold on to and say, this is why I can't play the youngster.
And I've often said when you have those situations too with the rookie quarterback, if you play him in week two or week three, why didn't you just start him from the beginning? Like, you kind of wasted two games. If you have a real plan and you can execute it and we get deep into the season, remember, Mahomes made the last start of the regular season. But the Mahomes-Alex Smith thing was such an acknowledgement. Alex Smith knew the moment that he was drafted, I get one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over. Like, unless we win the Super Bowl, it's done. By the way, they went to the playoffs that year. They were a good football team, but it was done. Rarely do you have that. That first round guy is going to play.
All righty. Jackson Dart at three, Charles Davis. At the end of the college football season, if you would have told me he'd be a first round pick, I'd be like, eh, I don't really see it. The third overall pick in the draft. I know sometimes teams reach on quarterbacks because it's the most important position, not only in the NFL, but sports. But take me through how you thought up of this one for the Giants at three.
So first of all, as soon as this thing got released yesterday, the first text I got was from my son.
What did he say? Dad, what the heck are you doing?
He didn't even go that far. He just said, Dart at three, ? He was wondering if the old man had slipped a cog. Then it started to come in from other people. Dart at three? And no one said, wow, that's a bold choice. Everyone was like, what are you thinking? Even people that like Jackson Dart came in and said, way too high. And I get, okay, I get all of that. I said, what if the Jets take him at seven? You more comfortable there? Because people have talked about that. That's been discussed. That's out there already. I said, what's the difference between three and seven? When you really get down to it. If you like a player, you go get him now. The reason I brought this up, and let's be honest, you know that when you do a mock draft, especially your first one, it is not necessarily, this is exactly what I believe, but you want to have something that's somewhat plausible and thought-provoking. Now, a lot of people would question the plausible part, but I do not. Why? Because last year, if I'm not mistaken, Zach, when the Giants had an opportunity to draft a quarterback in a top discussion of maybe you should get a quarterback, who was still left on the board? Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. They passed on all of them. How'd that work out? Not so well. Could this be the year where they go, we're not passing, all right? I'm just not doing it. Plus, you and I both know that when I do a mock draft, I don't do trades. I don't change where their number is. I go with it. We have gotten to the point where if you like a player, you go get him and you don't worry about, is this too rich? Is this not? Remember when everybody said Detroit was crazy for jumping up and getting Jahmyr Gibbs at 12?
Sure. I was one of them.
You remember when Dallas took Travis Frederick in the first round? Everybody said, he's a third-round guy. If you have conviction on a guy, you probably should go ahead and get him. Now, I get it. The argument can be made, and I totally understand it. But let the debate begin, because if I can put him at three and get clobbered, and understandably so, and I see my brethren put him at seven, everybody goes, oh, well, maybe, you know, possibly. 3 and 7, this is that much of a difference? I don't think so.
What would you say to people? Because, all right, I live in New York, and I could, if I was hosting the Fan right now, I could hear the calls if we did this as a topic.
Oh, God. I wouldn't be worth a nickel a pound. I get it. Well, I grew up in New York State.
Yeah, so I would just ask you this then. Would you rather have, let's say, Aaron Rodgers and Travis Hunter, or would you rather just have Jackson Dart? Like, would you rather have Rodgers in New York with Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers, or would you say, you know what, don't go Aaron Rodgers and you take Dart at three?
I'd go Rodgers with Travis Hunter, absolutely, because I'm pairing him with Malik Nabers, and I kick that decision down the road, and maybe I come back in the second round and get a Tyler Shuck. Look, a Jackson Dart could easily end up in the second round. We've been through this. You remember Will Levis, I was just talking about him, right? Do you remember the momentum that built the night of the draft? That
the
all
number
of a sudden,
one overall pick, out? I never got it. It was crazy.
Right? You remember that? And it didn't happen? Do you remember the year when Malik Willis was coming out and everybody
fell to the third? Night,
first round, he goes in the third. So these things happen a lot, right? And I get it. I totally get it. But Dart is accurate. Dart has won a bunch of ball games in places, you know, at Ole Miss where he's elevated. He just missed the college football playoff. He's a kid who can run the ball better than he gets credit for. I like the moxie about the young man. I like the makeup to him. He would be my third quarterback as reflected by where I put him. Now, is he going to go there? That remains to be seen. But everyone's holding their hand up now saying, hey, Tyler Shuck is now all of a sudden jumped into the conversation. Do you believe in Jalen Milroe? I think Anthony Richardson would be the easiest comparison. And right now, that's really hurting Jalen because Anthony's accuracy wasn't there. And then we saw Jalen have a tough time at the Senior Bowl, right? And right on down the line. So you got to believe in him and wonder if you're going to go in that direction. Quinn Ewers, I thought he threw the ball well at the combine. But you go back during the season, now the word is he was hurt the entire season and played through it. Got to give him extra points if that's really true, but it's got to change your evaluation about what you saw on tape. And I'm going to give you one that threw the heck out of the ball at the combine, and no one was talking about prior to, and all said his accuracy issues were a big problem at Missouri, and that's Brady Cook, who threw the heck out of it at the combine. Now, are you going to take that versus what you saw on tape? I will say this, the way he tested as an athlete will make you go back to the tape and say, hey, this kid's an uber competitor, won a bunch of games, elevated a Missouri program. Is there something there that I can work with? Not in the first round, but down the road. But Zach, did anyone mention Brady Cook even going to the combine?
No.
And by the way, Kyle McCord threw the heck out of it this year up at Syracuse.
Did a great job.
Give Will Howard a ton of credit, winning a natty at Ohio State, deservedly so. Kid played as you know what off, made some big plays along the way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am of the opinion that Kyle McCord would have won a natty this year at Ohio State too.
Interesting. Let me ask you this before we let you run. When we get to free agency, Rodgers and Darnold, how do you kind of handicap that right now in their next destinations?
Listen, I think that Rodgers wants to play football. Again, I spent no time with Aaron, so I'm talking as a true outsider, just observing. He seems to me like he still loves football and wants to play. I'm not hearing any of that waffling about it. It's just more situation where he wants to go, et cetera, and he can afford to be choosy. We know that because he's got all the skins on the wall. Darnold, if I'm Sam Darnold and Minnesota still wants me, I'm thinking hard about cutting a deal there. I really am, because that's the best football he's played in his career. Best coaching for him. Offensive unit is really good. You're going to get Darisaw back at left tackle. They just picked up Cam Robinson to make the run last year. Look at the receiving core. You got a runner in Aaron Jones. Kevin O'Connell can make, like, you and I can get through about a quarter of an NFL game now if Kevin O'Connell's our head coach and quarterback.
I don't know about that. Maybe you, not me. I don't know about that.
Listen, you realize that 2 years ago he won how many games?
Yeah.
How many different quarterbacks? Including my man Josh Dobbs showing up on like a Tuesday and getting it done. All I'm saying is, if I'm Sam Darnold, I realize money's money, and I don't mess with anyone's money. I don't do that. But I have to figure, if you're Sam, career-wise, this might be the spot. Because remember, J.J. McCarthy didn't do anything last year because he was hurt. So I'm not sure he's coming back like Patrick Mahomes sat out an entire year, practiced every day. J.J. McCarthy was rehabbing coming back. I'm not sure you're just saying, well, I just go right to J.J. McCarthy. If I'm the Vikings, I want Darnold to come back. And if I'm Sam Darnold, this is where I played the best in my NFL career. Anywhere else I go is another reset. Am I ready for that? And will I play?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
To that same level.
I knew we were only going to talk quarterbacks, so we'll bring you on again as we get closer to the draft because there's so many things that fascinate me. He's Charles Davis. It's a great job. NFL Network, CBS Sports. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Zach. Always great to see you. You take care of yourself.
And I'll give you what I think is going to be the first four picks and who's going to be the first four picks of the draft when we do return.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.